I would like to offer my sincerest and heartfelt condolences to Mrs. Myrna Magala, to her children, her grandchildren, relatives, friends, fellow parishioners. We are all gathered together today to assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass and to lay to rest one of our dearly beloved. I couldn't help but think that last Saturday we laid a faithful mother and wife to rest, Mrs. Aaron Vila. And today we are laying to rest a faithful father and husband. And as we know, there are no accidents in life. They were both related, Aaron and Dennis, through the in-law relationship. They were both members of the same parish. They both lost a battle to cancer. They died a novena apart, 9 days. And I think this is just another beautiful reminder how we are united in the bonds of the mystical body of Christ, which transcend all other bonds, all other relationships. As close as blood is, as close as friendship is, as close as the in-law relationship is, there is a bond that transcends all. And that is that we are part of the mystical body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we see this related time and again in the liturgy of the church, the writings of the spiritual writers. Christ is the head, and Mary, as mediatrix of the mystical, of all graces, is by analogy called the neck of the mystical body. All graces that come from Jesus pass through her, go through her hands, and we are members. That supernatural life of grace which keeps this soul alive passes through my soul, just as blood circulates through the whole body. At one time, that blood cell is nourishing the tissue, in, say, for example, in the ear. Next time through, it will nourish the eye. Then it will nourish the hand. Then it will nourish the lungs. What a beautiful thing for us to think about, how we are united in Christ. I'd like to speak personally now about my knowledge of Dennis. And I first met him when I was a young priest. Yes, I was young. My first pastoral assignment. And was I ever excited, because priests are that way, you know. I had Queen of Angels Parish in the Los Angeles area. And he was my parishioner, although he hadn't become a Catholic yet. I had already met dear Myrna at her father's funeral some years before that. And I met truly a gentleman, one who inspired respect by his conduct and who always gave respect to others. It was not my happiness to bring him into the faith, but Father Dominic Radecki, who succeeded me later on in that same parish, had the privilege and the joy of bringing Dennis into the Catholic faith. In great part, I am sure, to his dear wife Myrna's prayers, her perseverance, the strength of her faith, it inspired him. They were not married as two Catholics, but this is a story with a beautiful ending, where the non-Catholic says, I want to be Catholic too. And together in Christ, they practice and live their faith and pray together, fully united in the mystical body of Christ. I know how much that meant to Father Dominic Savio Radecki, and it is only because of the geographical distance that he's not here today. He made it a special point to come up a couple of months ago to be with his spiritual protege, Dennis. That is truly one of the great joys of a priest's life, when somebody can be baptized, when an adult says, I believe, I want to be part of the faith. And so Father Dominic came up and spent a couple of days visiting, praying, giving the sacraments of the church. I'm sure that he's here in spirit. And Father Dominic valued Dennis so much that he made him a board member of the church there. He knew the wisdom that he had, his integrity, his being a great and good provider for his family. And so, and make no mistake about this, whenever you help the church in that direct way such as that, or volunteer in some way, God will reward you for helping build up his kingdom on earth. That's what the church is. It's not a temporal kingdom in the sense of ruling politically or economically, no. But it is the kingdom of God on earth. That is what Jesus left behind when he ascended into the world, ascended into heaven, not some invisible, intangible reality. He left us the church, his church. And Dennis worked for God's church. Every Catholic parish has the privilege to be part of that church. And then came the move to Spokane. And would you know it? Again, now Dennis and Myrna are my parishioners, along with many other members of the family. They came here to be closer to family, to be closer to the church, to partake more often than could be because of the distance in the church's life, her liturgy, the Mass, the sacraments. Not too many people can look outside their window and say, there's my church. I'm that close to it. And they were able to say that. And so many blessings he received as a participating member of our parish. And then in June 2011 came a unique event, one that I've never witnessed or experienced anywhere else. It wasn't just, of course, the great joy of Dennis and Myrna's golden jubilee of marriage. But because it was not a Catholic marriage, both Catholics from the beginning, there hadn't been a nuptial mass and a nuptial blessing. So on that blessed day last year, Dennis and Myrna had a nuptial celebration on their golden jubilee anniversary. I truly felt privileged to be there for that. Now, because of the rubrics that day, it being the Pentecost week, we weren't able to have the nuptial mass, the proper nuptial mass per se, but we would have had it if the rubrics had allowed. And in any case, the nuptial blessing was given. Many prayers of thanksgiving certainly went up from my heart that day, as I'm sure it did from the family and from Dennis and Myrna themselves. And I want to share with you, because I think it's so appropriate, as we reflect upon a life of faithfulness, I would like to reflect upon these beautiful words that are often read at an anniversary or jubilee celebration of marriage. On the day of your wedding, so long past, grace was laid up in your souls through the sacrament which you administer to each other. And today you stand before the world as a striking testimony of what God's grace conferred in matrimony can effect in the husband and wife who will work along with the divine treasure that is in them. Our world has great need of the living sermon which your example of fidelity and loyalty dins into its ears. We needed their example, and they gave us that example. Also some other words, of course, it is no secret that your way has not been easy at all times. You have had to endure suffering together. You have often been nailed to the cross of sacrifice. There have been temptations to overcome. You have been put to the test of heroic generosity and unselfishness, so that you might patiently bear each other's weaknesses and imperfections. With God's help, you have been enabled to accomplish what of yourselves you could not, or you would not have been able. We are all the better for Dennis and Myrna's example, their 51 years plus of fidelity to each other. We are all in need of examples of faithfulness, examples of fidelity, examples of working together according to the holy plan of God, for which we pray every day in the Our Father, Thy will be done. In those same words, my dearly beloved brethren, lead us one day to our death and our passing. That day is the will of God. And in that we take comfort. We have to remember that God doesn't send pain and suffering and sorrow to his children for its own sake. Rather, God allows it for a great spiritual purpose. And that spiritual purpose is to make our souls shine so that we may receive a worthy eternal reward in heaven. We mourn, we sorrow, but our faith tells us that it's all for a purpose. The crown awaits in heaven if we but bear that cross ourselves, that we see life as a preparation for eternity, and if we don't see it that way, we are tragically misunderstanding and wasting our lives. pity the worldling who focuses on this life as his final destiny. How bitterly he will be disappointed, because we cannot find a final destiny in this life. It's impossible, as we can so readily see. So our blessed Lord, with our Holy Mother Mary's help, is trying to form our souls into becoming worthy members of Christ's church, of Christ's mystical body. And the pain and sorrow that we bear always purifies us, always sanctifies us, always does good for our soul when we strive to accept it in the right way. My dear brethren, especially the dear Magala family, be comforted and consoled that this was a holy passing. It wasn't just Father Dominic, as you know, who came to visit him, but Father Oswalt and I often were able to come, especially Father Oswalt, bringing him Holy Communion. I didn't realize that I would have given Dennis his last Holy Communion. But we need to be comforted and strengthened by this, because even though we cannot see things with the eyes and the mind of God, still we see one beautiful spiritual sign after another. As I said, that life of faithfulness, that life of being a faithful Catholic, of living up to his obligations as father and husband, and providing, God only knows in how many ways, for others, especially extended family, being there for them. Every Holy Communion we receive, what is it called? It is called the Pledge of Life Everlasting. He received it many times. He received extreme unction more than once as new dangers set in. And it was my privilege to give him the apostolic blessing. And if he accepted death as a punishment for sins, the apostolic blessing completely erases one's purgatory time. What a blessing that Holy Mother Church provides. As long as the person says the name of Jesus devoutly, accepts death as punishment for sin, that person gets to bypass purgatory entirely. Again, we don't know the interior dispositions. Those are known for certain only to God alone. But I cannot help but be grateful, as I am sure you, dear family, are, for these good signs that were there. I began to read a beautiful little book called In Heaven, We Know Our Own. And it's for those of us that are still in this life. And it reminds us of many consoling aspects of our faith. And I believe in one place it points out, just as we fear the or lament the death of the unjust, those that are not prepared, those that have not been living their faith, so too we should take a spiritual comfort and an inspiration in the death of the just. And such it was. Let us be grateful for the graces that God gave to Dennis. We are here to thank God, because there were innumerable graces and blessings that came to him. And we add our thanks to his, because this is what our faith is all about. God came to make us good. He came to take away our sins, to help transform us from sinners into saints. That's what God wants. That's the good news of the gospel. That God would care so much for his human creatures to come and to have this tremendous transforming effect upon them. That's what God wants. He wants us to be with him. Our sins get in the way, but he's there to help us overcome our sins, to atone for our sins, so that we may be with him as soon as possible after we leave this short life. Remember the words of the preface in today's Mass. Life is changed, not taken away. Faith tells us, and even right reason tells us, that nothing can break the bond of love, not even death itself. And nothing can break the spiritual bond that we have with one another, or with the souls in purgatory, or with the souls that are triumphing in heaven. Because that spiritual reality goes beyond all sensation, all physical experience, and that's what we hold on to. This is why St. Paul said in one of his epistles, "O death, where is thy sting?" St. Paul was telling us that by Jesus going through death himself and by giving us grace, helped us to see death in a different light than those who have no faith. They have the full sting of death. We don't. Because Jesus went through it too. And he gives us grace. And his gospel teaches us to keep our eyes on heaven. So we will lovingly lay him to rest today. His remains, which were the temple of the Holy Ghost, will be incensed, will be sprinkled with holy water, and he will await the resurrection of the body. Let us be sure to learn those spiritual lessons for which he gave the example. Let us be found faithful in every way. Let us become the saints that God wants of us. Keep striving. That's what our Catholic faith tells us. Never to reach a complacent state and say, "I've got it." No, we have to keep growing. We have to become that saint. We have to reach that level that God wants of us. And if we do, our crown will be given. We will receive it one day. So my dear brethren and dear family of Mr. Dennis Magala, let us keep our eyes on heaven. Let's not lose our gaze. Let us be waiting and ready so that when the Lord comes to summon us, we will be found faithful. There will be oil in our lamp. We will be as the faithful virgins, not as the foolish virgins. And we will accept or be able to go into God's eternity and be with him forever. Just persevere, pray, effort. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace.